There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live, Talks Automotive.
Our guest today, Damien Reid, motoring journalist. Damien, how are you? Happy New Year.
All good, thanks. Happy New Year. Ready to get stuck into 2018. So,
yeah,
ready to hit
Kicking
it
off with a bang, or a vroom in your case, I suppose.
Always room for a vroom, yeah.
Okay, we're also joined by Bill Carter, Chief Systems and Innovation Officer at Autodata Middle East. Happy New Year to you too, Bill.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's good to be back.
Yeah, you feeling like 2018 has kicked off in style?
Yeah, certainly do.
Good. Well, you're both smiling. Yeah. It's always a good sign.
It's a good way to start.
Yeah, and I guess the only topic we could talk about today really is VAT, because there's so many questions at the moment, because we're on new ground, aren't we? It's only day four. We don't know what's happening. And I guess, Damien, what would you say the big questions people are coming to you with, or the big concerns that they have?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are sort of saying straight away, does it impact on their, obviously, new car purchase, but also their used car? Do they have to pay if they sell their own car out of their driveway? Does it impact? Can they negotiate on it at the dealership? Can they sort of use it as part of the bargaining tool? There's a lot of confusion out there. I mean, people know that, yeah, sure, there's 5% on the purchase price of a new car, but what if you go to trade in your car? Do you pay it on the part that you get back on your car you're trading in, or do you pay it on the difference? Leasing, now that leasing's coming into this situation, there's just so many questions are being sort of fired my way that it's something that really needs to be talked about.
And as yet, do we have any answers to these questions, Damien?
Oh, there's a few answers, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so I mean, maybe start off with, if you're a private seller, you're selling your car on one of these websites, we're all familiar with them. If I want to sell my car and I have 10 tyre kickers coming around to have a look at it, finally one of them buys it, who's paying VAT on that?
Okay, so if you're privately and you're selling it privately, then there's no tax to payable because it's just, you know, it's a VAT number that's registered with a business, so it's not with you as a person. It's a consumer tax. It's for goods and services, so you're not providing either of those because you're selling your personal property to someone else. And likewise, I mean, when you go into a dealership, the first thing is that it's not negotiable. It's not something that you can sort of say. I know that there's a few banners running around saying that we'll absorb the VAT, but that means that the dealer is paying it on your behalf. Mm. It's not something you can go in and say, we can negotiate on 5%. That's just out of the question. So that's hard and fast. That's the one thing that you can't negotiate on. And yeah, likewise, when you buy a used car from a dealer, for instance, then you're paying the VAT on the profit only that the dealer is making on that car. So it's not something that it's not on the retail price of the car. So you, in theory, you can actually ask the dealer how much he paid for the car and how much he spent on it to get to the point where you're buying it. And then you know exactly what he paid for it and what you've got to pay for it, and you work out what the VAT is.
And Bill, we've talked about this, haven't we? It is all to do with what they've done, so what they've spent on it, and it's a reasonable estimation of what they've spent. It's not, you can't pluck this figure out of thin air and say, I've replaced the engine, it's now, I spent 50,000 on it. It has to be genuine, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, because, you know, part of the VAT process is the bookkeeping, in essence. So, you know, when they file their tax returns to the federal tax authority, all that has to be listed. So, you know, I've said before, if the dealer buys the car 80,000 and then he spends 5,000 on it, his total cost is 85,000. Now, if he sells that for 100,000, he's only paying VAT on that profit, on the 15,000. Mm. So the VAT element is about 750 dirhams.
So do you think this is making used cars more attractive at the moment, in simple terms?
Yes, without a doubt, because the gap between a new car price and a used car price has now got wider. Mm. Yeah, pure and simple.
Because, of course, with a new car, the VAT will be on all of it, and on a used car, it's only on the value and what they've spent on it.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, when you think about it, it is what it says. VAT is a value-added tax, so you're actually only paying tax on what additional value you've added to that product.
Now, you're talking about purchasing and selling cars here and the impact VAT is set to have on that, but it's not just about the buying and the selling either, is it? It's also the running of automobiles that's going to be affected by VAT.
Yeah, very much so. It's so it's basically there is 5% due on the insurance, on the on all the consumables, so that, you know, the petrol, the servicing, all that sort of comes into it. Now, where that can also come into play with the purchase is what we've seen in the last year or two is what dealers are doing, is that rather than negotiate on the price, because margins are already fairly tight with a lot of dealers, is they're throwing a lot of incentives in, such as, you know, 5 years free service and that sort of thing. So there are ways you can get around it through that way. But yeah, effectively, everything that you spend on the car, whether it be from a set of tyres to the insurance to a tank of gas, you're paying the 5%.
And I suppose, Bill, as well, then, listening to that, a lot of people who are maybe considering buying a car, leasing a car, whatever at the moment, the 5% VAT might be a bit of an off-put. They might kind of think, I've got the timing wrong here. Maybe I should have done it in 2017. But maybe the lesson is that if you shop around, there are actually deals to be made here, and you can still get yourself a good deal.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if you look, you know, first day we was back at work, you open the paper and there's a full-page advert from one of the major dealers saying that our price is still the same. You know, let's be perfectly honest and transparent. All that happened during last year, they knew VAT was coming in, so they gradually raised their prices. Mm. So, you know, to cover that effect. So they can now say, we are paying the VAT on your behalf. Pure and simple.
So we've had quite a few texts in already, and we will get to them. The first one in is about a car recommendation. We'll come to that shortly. But one I just wanted to come back to, in case Shazad missed the start of this conversation. Shazad's asking, does that mean the used car dealer now has to disclose how much they are making on each car exactly to the buyer?
In theory, yes. Yeah, in theory, he should be able to, but as we were talking before, just off air, there are ways that they will get around it. It's a matter of being brave enough to actually stand in front of the dealer and get him to open the books to show exactly how much he bought the car for and what he spent on it to a reasonable extent to get it to that condition that you're buying the car for.
And will we have any protection in terms of if you go to a dealership and ask to see that, are they obliged to show you?
I don't know. Nobody seems to be exactly sure on how that's going to work. And I think that's, you know, whenever you introduce a new system like this, there is always a sort of settling in time where all these small details can't come out. But, you know, in essence, as far as we understand, that on the invoice for that vehicle, the VAT has to be shown.
Yeah. That's the message we seem to be getting from the DD. The invoice has to clearly display how much VAT is. And if you think there's any manipulation in there, if you think there's anything unreasonable, you can contact them and they will investigate it. They've said to us several times, you can give us a call. The number is 800-5555. So you can call them and say, I'm not sure this adds up if you have an issue. But of course, it's a new thing. As we've mentioned, it's going to take a bit of time to get there. Yeah. Coming up, we will go into a bit more detail on this. We'll also answer some of the questions that we already have on recommendations for cars, VAT on car parts and service fees. If you do have any other questions for our two guests, the number is 4001 or via the free messaging app.
Drive Live, Talks Automotive.
We are talking all about VAT today. Our guest, Damien Reid, motoring journalist, and Bill Carter. He is Chief Systems and Innovation Officer at Auto Data Middle East. Danny Norton is alongside me, as well as Tim is still enjoying the break.
Yes, Bonnie Scotland is over, but he's back on Sunday, so you don't need to panic, Natalie. Yeah. He'll be back with you.
No panic. No panic. I'm going to kick straight off, though, if I can, with some of the messages, because we've had a few in for you both already. There is Mahmoud's text in. He says, will the VAT on car parts and service fees be a challenge? Is it going to be difficult to prove this? Mahmoud wants to know.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's you're still comparing apples with apples, whether it be what you're getting from a private shop or from the main dealer. The difference you're paying in the price will remain the same because it's 5% on all the parts and labour, regardless of where they come from.
Okay, and Bill, we did mention this before, but just in case anyone missed it, Shazad wants to know, will there be VAT on private used car sales? So between you and I, would there be any VAT on that?
No, none whatsoever. If it's a private transaction, consumer to consumer, VAT doesn't come into it, no VAT to pay.
Okay, so today we wanted to do a bit of research into this and wonder what happens, because one of the big queries is if you ordered a car I don't know, tail end of December, maybe even November. You know, cars can take weeks, months to arrive. You've paid the money. You're expecting this brand new shiny vehicle. And now you're thinking, right, what position am I going to be in? Am I going to end up with a second bill? Does my original bill cover it? And we've had a few different answers. So there's a few different unique situations, shall we say. So we'll not mention any names, but we've had different answers. So if I bought a car in December and I paid 100,000 and then it's delivered bill, would we expect that I would pay another bill? Would I be confronted, here's the car and give me some VAT?
It from our understanding, it depends on when the vehicle is delivered. If that vehicle was delivered before the 1st of January, no VAT to pay. If the vehicle is delivered after the 1st of January, we believe that you are liable for the VAT. And that's the plain and simple wording that we understand how it works.
Okay, I'll talk you through a couple of the policies of the big car providers here. One of them says, this is for car orders placed before January the 1st and then claimed or delivered after January the 1st. One company says, yes, there is VAT. The policy we had in December was for you not to pay VAT. We'd invoice and delivery must be done and arranged before the 31st. So for them, it didn't matter if the car was delivered this week, next month. As long as everything was done before the 31st of December, it was already paid. In January, of course, subject to VAT, just like every other business here. Another one says, yes, there's a clause in the contract, and they say prices are subject to change upon delivery or registration of the vehicle. They've informed customers, and they have been informing customers who purchased cars since last year. So they've been pushing that message to anyone coming in, walking in to the showroom and buying a car. And finally, this one's interesting. This one is, if a payment was made and invoiced, and it was all done in December, and you're just awaiting delivery, no VAT. But if payment and invoice were dated in January, it is. So they're saying doesn't matter the delivery date at all, as long as you paid for it in December. So that's a bit of clarity for people who are maybe slightly concerned the minute their brand new baby arrives, there's going to be a bill there.
As I say, from everything that we know and the discussions we've had, when the fact that you've paid for the vehicle and invoiced it before the 1st of January doesn't really matter. You're actually delivering the service, in other words, the vehicle, after the 1st of January. So therefore, it's liable for VAT, is our understanding.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess some of them are offering to absorb it. That's essentially what's happened. Yeah. But somebody along the line is still giving the VAT.
Yes.
Yeah, basically. Well, the thing is that they're obliged to charge it. So I was talking to a dealer friend of mine this afternoon who said that, he's had a few instances where people come in to say they want to put a very basic deposit down on something before December 31 so that they think that they're going to get VAT off and think, that's fine, I've opened the account, so we're ready to go. But it's just not the case that way. Other guys who have sort of come in asking, can they get 5% more on their trade-in? But the system just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. It'd be great if it would, but it doesn't work that way. So, it is something that, the money is not going to the dealership. They're the people who are just passing it on, and so there's really no way out of that. That it will be, if you're going to get the car after January 1, you're going to pay the 5%.
What kind of impact do you think this will have then on the industry as a whole here? Because as you're saying, if it's just a transaction between one resident to another resident, is that going to send more people towards certain websites that people can go on to advertise their cars, maybe push them away from the dealerships, do you think?
For sure. I think people will look at it. It will make people go to the car buying websites and says they're buying cars off driveways, floors and that sort of thing. But then you still get the same risk as well. The risk hasn't gone away from buying privately, just so you might get you'll get a 5% better deal. But then you can always, you've got to weigh it up. Do you negotiate that 5% difference and go through the security of a dealership where you get warranty and servicing and everything else? So, but certainly it will definitely spike an interest in people who want to buy and sell privately.
I guess though, Bill, I like a bargain. So if I was going to buy a car from a dealer today, whether, if that was a used car or a new car, I would expect that there might be some room for negotiation. Of course, the 5% has to be paid. Yeah. But I might say to them, well, can we look at this price then, the overall price, so that portion of VAT comes down? So it's always worth asking the question. They're never going to say to you, no, this 5% doesn't need to be paid. Someone's paying it.
Yeah, exactly. And let's as you quite rightly say, let's keep in mind that this VAT element is the responsibility of the government. It's not something that the dealer has suddenly added. It's a federal law that this has to be charged. Now, if you take that out of the equation, you've still got room for negotiation. So you do your negotiation, and the VAT is charged on what the final negotiated price is, including anything that you choose to buy at the same time. So, if you buy a service package at the same time, or you buy tinting, they're all subject to the VAT. So, it doesn't really matter. You're not taking away any of the negotiation process. All we are saying is you cannot negotiate on the VAT. The VAT is a federal tax, and that's not open to negotiation.
And what about then service contracts? Because my service contracts, I think I extended it and it's maybe 8 years or something like that. Where does that leave me?
Well, my understanding, I had this conversation today with a dealer, and as I understand it, and from what was said by one of the experts on the Business Breakfast a couple of days ago, that the service contract element, what's happening at the moment, people are saying that they're being expected to pay VAT on the element of that contract after the 1st of January. Now, our understanding is, and again from what was said on the Business Breakfast, that has to be absorbed by the person or the company that supplied that contract. You are not allowed to add VAT partway through a contract. It is how we understand it. So the company that issued that service contract had to absorb that VAT. They're not allowed to pass that on to the consumer.
Is that the same case with car leases then? Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about here? Is that something different? So, say if you've got a car lease on maybe a 2-year deal, a 3-year deal, and you're maybe halfway through it, have you now got to pay an extra 5% on the price for the remaining time of your contract?
That I'm not sure about. But, if you're reading down to the letter of the law as I understand it, then the fact is they as it is a fixed term contract, I'm not sure that they would be able to come back to you with a supplementary invoice and say you've got to pay the VAT, is my understanding.
I think as well what's going to be interesting is how these contracts were written in the first place. Many of them predate even the concept or the thought of VAT, whereas many contracts that were drafted last year might include a provision for change. So you're going to have to look very carefully at what your contract says. And then, of course, at the moment, some of these businesses are still getting used to what constitutes the 5%. So there is room to talk to them about it and say, are we sure this is where the 5% should be applied, or should it be applied elsewhere? So I think, there's opportunities. And again, the DD say if there's a query, call that number and we'll investigate, is this a fair usage of the VAT being applied? Because I think, like you said, Bill, there's quite a bit of confusion as to what constitutes a contract that started before that came in.
I think if you look at this realistically, the businesses have had enough warning that VAT was coming in. Those that are more proactive would have already built that part of the margin into their contract. So, in essence, they're not actually losing out. They would have built that in as part of the contract to start with. But it's only those that have thought, oh, well, this is not going to happen, or, they couldn't be bothered, are the ones that are going to lose out and have to suffer swallowing that VAT element.
Okay, we've had a text message in about a car. They want you to recommend a car for them. No name on this. If you are listening, please text us in with a bit more detail, because you've asked for an economy car, given that VAT is in, and you want to know any suggestions we have. They're currently driving a 2012 1.8 Corolla, and they're doing Fajera to Dubai and back every single day. So economy car that's going to be doing that journey every single day. So I guess a bit of comfort too. We'll give you a few minutes to think about that. And if it was you that texted in, give us a budget, because it's a bit easier to narrow it down for you too. If there's kind of, a comfortable car that's economic, could be a massive price range, really.
Very much so. Very much so. And how much do you depend on safety and all those other things?
Yes, and one person's economy is another person's luxury, surely. Yeah. Okay, we'll hopefully answer that question and some more in a few minutes' time.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Okay, so we've got Bill and Damien here with us, and we're going to try and tackle a couple of these questions. Just before, I mentioned that there was a car. There was a driver looking for a car. They're currently driving a 2012 Corolla 1.8. They're doing Fujairah, Dubai Fujairah every single day. And they want a suggestion with a 40,000 dirham max. Damien, what would your suggestion be for an economic car?
If you're looking at 40,000, I mean, 2012 Corolla is still a fairly good thing. Either hang on to it and get it very well serviced, or perhaps maybe take it back to the dealer where you bought it from. So Alpha Time, who look after Toyota exclusively in the region, go back to them and see what they would give you on a trade-in for a newer version of the same car. And you might get a car that, the same car that's maybe 2 years younger.
And Bill, what would you
say? Yeah, exactly the same. A Corolla will go on forever, providing it's serviced regularly and serviced correctly. So I'd agree with Damien on that.
Okay, stick with the kind of car that you've got maybe, and try and see if you can improve on the year or see what deals are around. Now, there's a complicated question that's come in from Mohammed, so bear with me on this one. So Mohammed's sent in this scenario, and he's basically saying we need to feel sorry for the dealer because they're always in a tax claiming position. So what he's saying is a dealer will buy a car from, say Bill, you bought a car from Damien for 3,000 dirham, not paid any VAT because it was, you know, a car sale from person to person. Okay, we're okay with that. But then, Bill, you spend 7,000 dirham on this car. I feel like I'm back in school. There's going to be a question in
how
a minute.
How many apples is that?
Yeah, if it takes a man a week to run a fortnight.
So Bill, you've paid 3,000 for it, you've then spent 7,000, and of that 7,000 we're saying it's VAT, so 350 for the parts, and then you sell the car for 12,000. Mohammed's saying as the margin is 2,000 dirham, VAT will be 100. You know, the dealer is losing out is what Mohammed's saying. I guess Mohammed, the answer to the question is a bit, it's more simple than that, really, isn't it, Bill?
Is. Yeah. Basically, you're paying VAT on any profit you make. So after you've bought the car, you've bought any parts for it, you've cleaned it, washed it, done all the advertising, any costs associated with that vehicle. After that, it's the difference between that and what you sell it for is the part that is subject to VAT. Pure and simple.
And essentially, you can choose that figure as a dealer. You can say, this is what we value the car at.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's the consumer who pays the tax, because that's what the tax is for. It's for the consumers to pay a tax. So the dealer will pass it on in some way or other and collect it and pass, because everyone who has a VAT number is effectively a tax collector for the government to pass on. So it doesn't end with them. It ends with the end consumer, whether that be a cup of coffee or a new car.
Yeah, and also don't forget that if that dealer has bought parts from outside, the dealer can actually reclaim the VAT on those parts. So, you know, the dealer's not losing out. It's no different.
I think Mohammed was maybe a little bit feeling sorry for the dealer, perhaps, shall
could
we
be
say.
One himself.
Yeah, could be. Shazad's texted in and said, do you think it's possible that used car dealers could start posing as private sellers?
Yes, without a doubt.
If they don't do it already. You know, what's to stop a dealer from taking a car home on the weekend and letting, you know, the husband or wife drive it for a few weeks and then sell it from their driveway?
That's been going on for years.
Okay, so nothing new there from Shazad, unfortunately.
Is there nothing though on the paperwork for the car? When you've got the car itself, would that not have the actual dealership's name on it, the ownership, before it's transferred to the buyer, for example?
You can sell it to your family member for a very good price.
Yeah. And then sell it on again. Not that we're passing on tips not condoning this kind of behaviour.
An easy thing to look for is if you see the same phone number appear on multiple adverts. It's usually an indication that somebody is posing that's not quite kosher.
And we wanted to talk about one more thing, Damien, as well. You know, something that happens here I wasn't aware of, but something that takes place every week is a car auction. And what kind of position would a dealer be in, or an individual buyer, if they go to an auction for a car?
Yeah, so there's several auctions that happen every week here. Some are ex-government auctions, but a lot of them are wholesalers to wholesalers. So it doesn't really involve a lot of private people. But occasionally you do. I've been down to a few of them. I've had a look and I've helped people sort of buy and sell, you know, picking cars to buy and sell. So if it's wholesaler to wholesaler, then they pay it. But if you wanted to get a bargain and buy your car at auction, if you buy it from a wholesaler, then you'll pay the tax. If you buy it from another private individual who decides to, I'm leaving the country tomorrow afternoon, I need to move my car this evening and sell it in 30 seconds at auction, then you don't pay the VAT on that, but you will pay the VAT on the administration fee that the auction house usually charges, which is usually around about 8% of the hammer price. So it's a, so you buy the car 8% on the hammer price, you'll probably pay 5% of that 8% if you're buying it from someone privately.
It's interesting to see how it all, will all pan out, because we are at this stage, lots of it's guesswork, and I guess in the coming weeks and months we're going to have a bit more of a concrete idea of how it will all play out, because it's hard to see how private sellers and used car sales won't go through the roof. It's very difficult to see any other way, isn't it?
It is, really. I mean, if you look at it logically, the VAT element on a new car is going to be quite a chunk of money, whereas the VAT element on a used car is not. So the gap between the two, the price gap between a new and used, is going to get wider. And so a used car, even a nearly new car, it's only a few months old, is going to look really attractive against the price of a new one.
But also, I think, I mean, dealers have been... have weathered a bit of a storm so far already with a very bad year last year, and so they've managed to build in other ways to try and maximise a very small margin by, you know, just looking around on today, you know, that there's some are offerings you buy a car, you get some gold with it, others offer 0%.
What kind of car is this, Damien?
One of the dealers is offering
expensive car.
Not really, actually. I was quite surprised. But probably a very small amount of gold. But, you know, others are offering 0% interest over a number of years, guaranteed buybacks, all this kind of thing. So they've managed to sort of take as much fat off the deal as they can without impacting on a very small margin. So that's kind of conditioned them, I guess, to an extent, to still continue to offer the best deal, given the fact that that price is going to have a 5% slug to it.
Mm. I think, Damien, I'm just still... processing the gold with the cars.
I'll tell you after the show.
Just processing the fact that people are getting gold with cars. You clearly go to very different dealerships to me. I'm convinced. Absolutely. That's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Automotive. Sylvester, I'm sorry we didn't answer your question, but we are talking about cars. Sylvester was keen to find out if you pay VAT on a commercial lease. So I think we might be able to tackle that question, but just not right now.
Yeah. One very, very final one, just so people don't get feel really down about it, 5% VAT tax. The normal VAT in the OECD currently is at 19%, so we're still a long way in front.
Yeah, where I come from, VAT is high, so this even still is much less than what I'm used to, so you can't complain too much. Positive outlook from Damien Reid there, motoring journalist. Damien, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, always.
And Bill Carter, Chief Systems and Innovation Officer at Autodata Middle East. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, always a pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.